This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Even as we're still looking for ways to repurpose our Thanksgiving leftovers, we here at AZ Central's podcast team are turning to the end of the year's holidays. Hanukkah has begun, and Christmas is just around the corner. Unlike much of the country, though, we celebrate our holidays in light jackets and flip-flops. No snow for us in the Valley of the Sun. But we're still able to get into the holiday spirit just as easily as our wintry neighbors with our local traditions, snow or not. Welcome to Valley 101, a podcast from the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com, where we answer the questions you ask about Metro Phoenix. I'm your host, Kayla White. In this episode, our producer Kaylee Monahan went on search for some holiday cheer Phoenix style. So gather up the kids and hot chocolate for a Christmas tale unlike the others you have heard.
It's that time of year again, when the temperature dips just a little below comfortable, and the air smells like cinnamon and pine forests, and familiar sounds tickle our ears. And what's that? That light, right up ahead. Why, it's Mama Bear and her cubs. And they're all lit up for the holidays. In fact, there are lights sparkling and shimmering everywhere. Which can only mean one thing. This must be zoo lights.
This is actually our 30th anniversary.
That's Justin Davis, the zoo light supervisor.
When I was a kid, I always said that I was going to work at the zoo. That was just my thing, 8, 9 years old.
He never thought he'd get a job at the Phoenix Zoo as the head of zoo lights, however. But it turned out to be a great fit for Davis, who's been working with zoo lights for close to 10 years. Curating more than 3 million lights, Davis and his team are always looking for new, inspired ways to bring the zoo to life at night. From animated 2D creatures to 3D sculptures and the towering trees with thousands of bright bulbs, Zoo Lights continues to ignite good cheer and fun every holiday season. What started off with just those simple 2D incandescent displays scattered throughout the zoo is now a fantastical jungle of LEDs of every color, shape, and size. This year, there are more lantern lights. These are the big animal structures made with steel frames, and then a skin gets pulled over the top, and they glow from the inside.
We also have these art illuminated boxes by an artist named Russ Ronnett, and it's a cool new element that we added to it this year.
And the drive-thru zoo lights is back on select nights. But as an avid zoo lights patron, I had to ask about the rumor I've heard over the years. Does it really take 6 months to put up and another 6 months to take down all the lights?
We start June 1st.
Be blazing hot.
It is. It's pretty bad. Yeah, we start in the middle of the summer and go all the way through. We try to be done by Halloween. We usually have some I's to dot, T's to cross by Halloween, but for the most part, it'll all be done.
Davis says Zoo Lights is split into four seasons. The install, the maintenance, the teardown, and then the repair.
So everything you see at the zoo is built in-house. So it's a crew of five of us, and we'll get together and we put our brains together and we think about what do we want to build, what do we want to do this year, and then we just have it happen. The 2Ds, we project images onto the ground and we'll trace them and then just bend the metal over the what it looks like. And then the 3Ds just kind of come from our brain, and we'll use black and white, just pictures we printed off the internet, and try to use those to get the best representation of the animal.
Aside from the animalistic lights, the illuminated trees are a sight worthy of Santa's Wonderland. For the massive arboreal displays, the Zoo Lights team needs to use a big lift to decorate the highest branches.
You have some pretty tall trees here. Like, what's the highest one you have to get up to?
About 95 feet. Give or take, 90, 95 feet.
I'm guessing that's not a saguaro cactus.
No, it is not. It's a giant eucalyptus.
While patrons enjoy the seasonally event, I had to ask, what about the animals? How do they react to all the lights, noises, and smells? For answers, I turned to Drew Foster, one of the animal curators at the Phoenix Zoo.
So I've been at the Phoenix Zoo for 10 years as animal curator on the birds, ectotherms, that's all of typically what people refer to as cold-blooded animals, including fish, insects, invertebrates, reptiles, amphibians, the equine farm areas, and then our ambassador animal area.
When I asked him how Zoo Lights affects the animals, he said, it depends.
So there are animals that are more sensitive, that we keep those areas closed off while we're open for Zoo Lights, areas like walk-through bird aviaries. Many of our larger mammals have access to night houses. So I'm thinking things like the giraffe, we're standing in front of the savanna, which do have night houses, and they're brought in and they're away from that sight and sound. But then there are other animals that remain on exhibit, things like our Komodo dragon. We have one Komodo dragon outdoors who is brought indoors overnight. We have another Komodo dragon that is visible while she is on exhibit indoors. She remains on exhibit, but we monitor her behavior, and behaviorally she seems fine.
But what if night houses aren't enough to shield them from all the excitement? Foster says the animal care teams carefully monitor all the zoo residents for signs of distress.
So, I mean, if an animal is disturbed, it's going to give us signs. Behaviorally, it's going to be off. It may, you know, not have as much of an appetite. It'll go off food or just act groggy, sleepy. Think about when you stay up late at night. And we're not seeing any of that. Animals are acting normal. Now, again, we do keep areas closed for those more sensitive animals. And I think of birds. We keep tropical flights closed. We want to keep them a little bit more protected from that noise, since at night birds tend to go to roost and want to go to sleep.
Right. Well, I do too.
Me too.
As for the installation and takedown process, the animals might be curious, but most are pretty chill. Justin Davis says they've seen it all before.
One of the cool things is because when we do our install, because of when we start in the summer, we like to work late night, so we're not in the direct heat for too long. Well, some of the animals get put into their night houses or their barns, and other ones get to stay out. One in particular that sticks out to me is we have our African white rhino, Howard, or Howie, and he gets very active at around 5-6 o'clock. So most people don't get to see that. But he'll eat and he gets the zoomies like a dog, and then he just passes out.
I think we all like to see rhino zoomies. But I had one more burning question before I could leave the zoo.
Oh, I did think of the one last question I have. For me, it's a little controversial with my friends. But the dancing trees installation, the music changed. I feel like from Carol de Bells to whatever it is, was it 5 years ago?
Well, we actually try to switch it up every year.
Okay.
So then last year we only had one show, and then this year we have, I'd have to look. I know we throw in one Trans-Siberian Orchestra song for the, you know, the giddy up of it, and then there's another one that's, it's a little bit slower, But we do try to switch the song every year to make sure that the show stays fresh.
Well, taking off my journalist hat and putting on my hat, personal hat, Carol the Bells, I think, is your best one.
Okay. Yeah, that was, but you guessed that right. And the fact, I think that was about 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And so there you have it. It's a Christmas miracle that starts every summer. Justin Davis and his team work through the blazing Arizona summers to ensure that all of Phoenix has a sparkly holiday season. And as I made my way to the zoo exit, a handful of Peak residents stopped me to say something. My flamingo is a bit rough, but I think they said, come visit us at Zoo Lights.
That is a lot of work that goes into making one of our season's brightest events, and it makes me even more excited to visit Zoo Lights this year. Thank you to producer Kaylee Monahan for this charming holiday tale. You can visit Zoo Lights now until January 15th. Check the Phoenix Zoo's website for details on tickets and drive-thru dates. If you have more questions about the Phoenix Zoo or any of Arizona's wildlife, submit them to our team at valley101.azcentral.com. And if you're a regular listener of our show, please consider supporting it by subscribing to AZ Central. As always, thank you for listening to Valley 101, a podcast from the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. Also, if you're a fan of Arizona politics, be sure to check out The Gaggle, our sister podcast that breaks down local issues and helps you keep up with the state's political news. And that's it for this episode. See you next week.